you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. So good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, July 17th, 2020. And Jason, I'm going to put out a little disclaimer. Some people are saying, why does he give the date all the time? What's with that? We know what time it is or what day it is. Well, I share that because our programs are always archived. And so for somebody tuning in or logging in to greatnewsradio.org, with a date on the program, at least they have a time frame or when it was recorded or broadcast or a frame of reference. Oh, it was 2 years ago in 2016. Well, that would be like 4 years ago, but, you know, it'd be at a point in time. So we always give out the date. And then for some of you that listen to the 7:32 a.m. airing of Mark and Friends, you know, you might say, yeah, what's the date today? Those of you in the Springfield, Whitehall, Beardstown, Jacksonville, to the west, and hear Mark and Friends at 10 in the morning, then you might be like, hey, we know what date it is. We've been up for 4 hours. Anyway, so I give the date. Today, I want to open up with a scripture because we're going to be looking at the book of James. Joining me is Pastor Jason Schiffo from the Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet. And I always love and appreciate having him on because not only is he a dear friend, but he loves the Lord. He loves God's word. And on a moment's notice, I can say, Jason, what do you think about this? And because he's read the Bible, he's studied the Bible, he's thought through many of the biblical truths and the doctrine, he generally has something insightful or helpful or surprising even to him that the Holy Spirit will work through him and bring out concepts or flesh out a thought that he wasn't even prepared to talk about, but it just came naturally because he so loves God and loves the Word. So, Pastor Jason, we're going to be walking through the book of James together with our listeners, but I wanted to open up with James 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it goes on to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. So that's the first verse in this book of James. Actually, it was initially penned by James as a letter, I believe, to the churches, but we call it the book of James. And so we'll talk about that in just a minute. But I wanted to first do a few little shout outs because I met some servants of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ on Wednesday. And I am such a fan of Big R now. Some of you might say, Big R? What's Big R? It's kind of like a Farm and Fleet or a Rural King. It has just about everything you need, from clothing to candies to lawnmowers to feed corn to everything in between. It's like the farmer's Walmart, but it just about has everything, pet foods and on and on and on. Well, I traveled to Lincoln the other day and talked with the manager there of the Big R, and he said, sure, bring in the Prime Lifetimes paper. And I went to their Springfield headquarters. The owner of the Springfield also oversees the Lincoln unit and I think owns it along with their Taylorville store. And so had one of the most delightful conversations with Milt Weatherall. I think he's one of the owners. And then Dan Irvin, he's one of their major buyers and advertisers. He works with radio stations in the print media. And then also Matt Greamy, and he's like a corporate GM and buyer. And wonderful guys. I believe they're all followers of Jesus. And in fact, I hope in the coming days to have Dan Irvin on a Testimony Tuesday to share some of his faith journey. And I know he listens to our broadcasts. But it was so neat to see how they function and work. And they're going to be in next month's edition of the Prime Lifetimes. And we'll be talking about Big R. But they're allowing our papers to be available right at the front door. And we're a great bunch. It was kind of funny, Jason. Our WOW program guide, Look at What God's Doing, it has kind of a map and it shows our 19 frequencies covering from Indiana all the way to Macomb and beyond and Whitehall and Beardstown. Well, when I was in Bloomington yesterday, a little shout out for the Snooks in Bloomington. They already went through a little over 200 papers in just like about 5 or 6 days. So I went there just to see if they needed any papers. Completely empty. So I put another couple hundred papers at the Snooks in Bloomington. And then I was thinking, now, how do I get to Lincoln and Springfield from Bloomington? Well, I pulled out our Wow God program guide, and it has that map on the front, and it's like, oh, there's Lincoln. It's right just south, kind of west, and then Springfield. And so I was using our program guide as my map, and then I used my phone and said, Lincoln, Illinois, you know, directions to Lincoln. And so I had some delightful visits with some people yesterday, and then ended up in Decatur after Bloomington, then Lincoln, then Springfield, then Decatur. Lyle Clary, who's one of our content contributors in the paper, met up with him to exchange papers. He delivers into Decatur for us. And so he's, I think he's 80. Yeah, 80 or 80. No, he just turned 80 recently, because we were kidding about him being 20 years older than me. And he was talking about still wanting to deliver papers and write. He writes some great stories for the paper. So a pretty full day on Wednesday, which led to yesterday being an overwhelming day, where kind of one of those high octane days, so many different facets that you have to work on and attend to, and kind of been daunting. But as you and I have talked, and thank you again for calming me down, it's like, keep things in perspective. You know, the Lord is sovereign over our affairs. He's going to accomplish his plans and purposes, and it's best that you walk in step with his leading. And, you know, some things are out of our control, and just lean into him. So I've taken that advice to heart. And I think you also said, now remember, Mark, Romans 8 follows Romans 7. So, you know, as much as you're spending time in Romans 7 living out some of those frustrations, remember about Romans 8. So one of my assignments today is a follow-up to read Romans 8 with Pastor Jason's recommendation, so God's Word can minister to me. So God's Word does minister to me, as it does to you, Jason. In this book of James, last week you gave kind of a little bit of an overview. I think you call it like a 30,000-foot flyover, just giving some of the principles and a little of the background. But your heart, and I think your thoughts were, yeah, you can study the book, you can learn about James and why it was written and his objectives, but more importantly, it's dialoguing with God through these written words, this instruction manual, these inspired concepts, so that we can know God better. Really, that's the greater purpose, is to have that relationship flourishing with God.
Yeah. Isn't that what God wants us to do? That's the reason why he revealed his word to us, and he gave us his spirit who authored the word and who is in us and helps us to be able to read the word, helps us to be able to persevere in the word, helps to point things out to us in the word, and then open up other avenues and doors where we can learn more about the word. And so God desires that we would know his heart, because so often, as you've already helped us to understand through your own personal testimony, we need to know his heart because we don't often understand his hand. We don't understand what he's doing. We don't understand why things are the way that they are, and why things are oftentimes difficult or overwhelming or even high octane. You know, why can't, you know, I think in kind of this perfect idealism, you know, we would think, well, why can't I just live a life where I get up, you know, and I spend 3 or 4 hours in the Bible, and then I pray, and then I go out and serve and love people, and then I come back home and read the Bible some more, and I pray, and, you know, and that's really not our life. Instead, our life is upside down, where, you know, praying and reading the Bible and serving people and doing the things that we know we ought to do, or at least would love to be able to do, because we know what they do deep inside of us. Doesn't happen all that often, because the overwhelming, the frustration, the ordinary things, all that stuff kind of dumps itself into each one of our days, and it becomes difficult. And so we need to read his word, and God's word commands us that we read his word. And the reason that he does that is because he understands that we are going to receive encouragement and endurance. That's what Romans 15 tells us. And so when we're talking about frustrating, overwhelming, and high-octane days, what we need in those days are endurance. Mm-hmm. But also what we need in those days is encouragement, because so often those kinds of days have a great measure of discouragement to them. You know, we thought we had this covered. We thought we did this. We thought this thing was going to go this way, and it didn't. And so we need that encouragement, and God's word provides that. It tells us that it'll provide it if we come to it and seek it out. And one of the reasons that we're going to do what we're going to do with the book of James, you know, we did, like you said last week, a 30,000-foot flyover, but now we're going to go through and look at each word. We're going to go through it in an expository nature so that we can look at every jot and every tittle. You know, Jesus told disciples, that every word matters, every marking on the page matters. And we need to understand that the commas, the punctuation, every single bit of what we see on the page isn't there by chance. It's there by providence because God gave it to us.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, it is there for our encouragement and endurance. So if somebody out there is listening right now and they're like, okay, wait a second. So maybe one week you might spend 20 minutes on one word? Yeah, we might.
Mm-hmm.
Because that one word might actually have so much to say to us that we can't move on, because we need to try to our best to embrace and take captive all that God is trying to tell us in that one word.
So, Jason, how about opening up our time in prayer for that person that's maybe skeptical? Well, why do I need another Bible study? Or what do you mean this is inspired of God? Or can it really have points of application for my life? To the senior saint that just revels in new discoveries, or like peeling that onion and finding something, or looking at that diamond and a new facet of light, you know, reveals some truth. But for that whole continuum of those that are maybe hostile or don't even believe you can have a relationship to God, to the senior saint, praying up that our forthcoming study, as we look at these words, that all of us will grow, will be challenged, will find points of application. But like you said, more importantly, we'll get to know God better, we'll receive His love, we'll understand His grace and His mercy, and will grow, will model Christ more effectively to people around us. So hopefully that all of us will receive some type of blessing or various blessings as we kind of study this together. So it's interactive. People hopefully will hear maybe something you or I say and share it, or maybe challenge us. Maybe they need to write us and say, well, I don't know if I totally agree. Could you explain that a little more? Or I don't know, what did you mean by that? You made an innuendo or something and I'm confused. So that we can be interactive and learn what God would say to all of us, because He does have a specific message to all of us that are maybe very different, because He needs me to work on this area of my life, and somebody else, they needed just a word of encouragement, to someone else needed a very specific insight into a decision they were going to make.
Mm. Father, we come to You right now, Father, with the Word opened, reading the words that You penned through Your Spirit and gave to us, Father. Mm. I'm seeking endurance for today, seeking encouragement, seeking that You would help us to put in right perspective our lives. You told us in the first commandment that we are to love You supremely. And Lord, we admit that that's difficult to do.
Mm.
And so, Father, maybe even as we just read these words on the page, Father, that it would orientate our lives, it would orientate our eyes, our hearts, our ears, to hear what You have to say, to focus on You. Father, we have so many different things that we desire. And Father, those desires are not all bad, but Father, I pray right now for all of us together that they would take a backseat to what You emphasize and to what You want to say. Lord Jesus, when You walked on the earth, You quoted Isaiah and said, He who has ears, listen to what the Spirit says.
Hmm.
And so, Father, we pray right now that we would hear what Your Spirit is saying to us. Father, speak loudly, because we are those who oftentimes fall deaf.
Hmm.
And, Father, we do this because we love You.
Hmm.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, it starts out by saying, James. Now, that's not the title at the top of the page. That's actually the first word that you read in the greeting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes people fly past the greetings because they think it's just a greeting. We oftentimes think, you know, that the hello is just perfunctory. Hey, hi, hello. Okay, well, that's just, you know, to get us to the actual conversation that we want to have.
Mm.
But James here doesn't do that. And by the way, we need to remember always, because we're going to use the word James a lot. But when we say James, what we're talking about is James, the brother of Jesus, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The most special thing about James is not his eloquent writing, is not the wisdom that he brings to the page. It's not even that he was the half-brother of Jesus Christ. The most compelling thing about James is that he has the Holy Spirit, that God's Spirit is speaking through him, that God's Spirit is using him. And that's the same for each and every one of us. But we need to remember that, especially because we'll say the name James a lot. And as we say the name James, our natural inclination will be to think more about James than to think about God, to think more about James than to think about the Holy Spirit. And later in his book, James will actually warn us against doing some of that. Hmm. Now, this James that it begins in verse 1 is James the Just, the half-brother of Jesus. James the Just is the name the tradition gives him. But he's the half-brother of Jesus. In fact, it says in Matthew 13:55, is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary and his brothers James and Simon and Judas? And so we know that he is the half-brother of Jesus. And he is the brother of Jude. In fact, it says in Jude chapter 1, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, and what? The brother of James. Mm-hmm. And we know also that he led the church in Jerusalem. It says in Acts chapter 15 and 13, and after they had become silent, James answered, saying, men and brethren, listen to me. And so Scripture gives us a little bit about James. But one of the things that we really need to understand about James is that James was not initially a believer. He grew up in the house with Jesus Christ. And he was not instantly given over to believing that Jesus was the Son of God. In fact, in John chapter 7 and verse 5, it says, for even his brothers did not believe in him.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't believe in him. He was a skeptic. He was somebody who had history of saying, nope, that can't possibly be. Nope, I don't believe it. So if you're listening right now and you're going, nope, that can't possibly be. Nope, I don't know about this Jesus. Nope, I can't understand, trust, or this is the book for you to read.
Yeah, you're in good company.
You're in good company. Because this is somebody who traveled and walked that same road. Now, listen, we wouldn't know that unless we stopped and parked on that first word, James. And we ought to know something about the author, rather than just embracing the work, knowing his path and his journey. But we also ought to know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 7, it says that Jesus appeared to James. He was seen by James and then by all the apostles. And so Jesus made himself known to James, just in the same way that I know and I trust that Jesus will make himself known to even the most skeptical of skeptics, because he did so with James. Now, it's interesting that we go on from there, and it says, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we know that James is what? He's the half-brother of Jesus. Now, listen, if you became a believer and you were the half-brother of Jesus, how would you introduce yourself at every party?
Yeah. Look at me. I'm Jesus' half-brother.
Yeah, I'm the half-brother of Jesus. Hey, did I mention I'm the half-brother of Jesus? I just wanted to let you know, Jesus is my half-brother. Yeah. You know, the guy who walked on water, turned water into wine, that's my brother.
Yeah.
You know, knowing that James is the half-brother of Jesus makes this introduction here significant.
Hmm.
Because when he says he's the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's using the word doulos there, which means slave. Slave or bondservant. So he's not coming to the party and saying, hey, my name is James, and by the way, Jesus is my half-brother, so there's my credibility.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming and he's saying, I am a slave, a bondservant to the Lord Jesus Christ, to God.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming very humble. He's not coming with this kind of arrogance that we might sometimes have because of association or of position. In fact, what he's doing by doing this is he's actually advocating or giving away the freedom to be able to kind of elevate himself in that position.
Hmm.
Instead, he's doing what the Scripture says, I must become less so he can become more. That's what John the Baptist said. James here, right at the outset, says, I must be less. You know why? Because God, the work of God, and the Lord Jesus Christ, they are more. Because James rightly understands his relationship to God and his relationship to Jesus.
Hmm.
And then James says, to the 12 tribes in dispersion. Now, a lot of people get confused because James, being a New Testament author, why is he writing in this Old Testament language to the 12 tribes? I mean, that's the stuff we read back in the first five books of the Bible. Why are we reading that here? Because the 12 tribes were kind of a way of saying the lost sheep of Israel.
Hmm.
And dispersion means to be scattered. So James says, let me tell you why I'm writing this book. I'm writing this book, first of all, so you understand that I am a servant of God. that I am not seeking to use my position to elevate myself, but to elevate God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who is Lord. Even though I didn't believe it for so long, I want you to rightly understand his position. He is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, and I'm writing this letter to all the rest of you lost sheep. He's writing as one who knows what it meant to be lost, because he was. I'm writing to all the rest of you lost sheep who are scattered everywhere. And see, what James does right at the outset of his book, he makes this kind of proclamation that I think we all ought to make, right? That our lives are lived to elevate God, to say this is who God is, and live in such a way that we say that Jesus Christ is Lord. Not simply Lord of the church, not simply Lord of the Bible, but Lord of my life. And I prove it by living in such a way that is congruent with the way that he calls me to live. And that life is not lived in just kind of Christian bubbles, you know, like at church or this place or that place. This life that elevates God and declares that Jesus is Lord is lived in and amongst the lost sheep who are scattered everywhere.
Hmm.
That's how we live our life.
Jason, we're out of time, but I wanted to point out, I think you might have shared this last week or in one of the past Fridays, that Jesus Christ, the Christ is not his last name. That's like the title. That's the position that he holds. Could you, in our last closing 30 seconds, explain Jesus Christ?
Yeah, and so Christ means Messiah. And so Jesus Christ together means anointed Messiah. In the Hebrew, when you put those words together, it means that he is the anointed Messiah. Anointed to do what? To seek and to save the lost, to bring salvation to these lost sheep of Israel, to gather those who have been scattered. Mm-hmm. And so he is the only one who has the power to do that. He is the only one who has the position to do that. He is the only one who can do it. And that's the reason why we can declare that he is the Lord Jesus Christ. When we say that he's the Lord Jesus Christ, what we're saying is he's the only one who can do it.
Amen. Well, listening friend, I hope this is a great jump start into this book of James. Please read it on your own. Think about it. Come back next Friday as we'll continue walking through this verse by verse, word by word. And if you're a seeker, and maybe this concept of God loving you and that the Lord Jesus Christ is available to be your Redeemer, to take away your sins, to walk with you and to reveal truth to you, and to learn more about having that relationship with Jesus, we'd love to talk with you, or you can call 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. It's a free call, and these people would love to share with you how to have a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.